You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Welcome to Marvel Vision, a podcast about Marvel, the MCU, and right now, Ironheart.
Ironheart!
I said I'm
Justin.
Oh,
I'm Justin.
Okay.
So iron. I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about three episodes of Ironheart.
They all came out
at the same time. I watched them all three on three different monitors at the same time, exactly what the filmmakers intended.
That's what Ironheart would do.
She would. She'd be like...
No, she'd have an AI watch it for you and then tell you about it.
Oh, that's great. Boo. I don't even watch TV anymore. I just get an AI to summarize it for me. And then that's too long, so I have another AI summarize that. And
same.
Ultimately,
I'm the same way with food.
Is that like 2.0 speed? That's just talking to you.
Oh, I double the speed. I'm the same way with food and sex. I just have AI tell me what it's like. Close enough. Good enough for me.
Don't take away two of the greatest things ever.
Mm-mm, no, thank you. I just want to lie here in my bathtub and die.
Wow.
That's
guys,
the
you feel good?
Congrats.
That's if you guys like food and sex, have you ever tried food sex? Really good.
Yeah. Are you talking about warming up a watermelon? Anyway, we're going to be talking about episode one, Take Me Home. Episode two, Will the Real Natalie Please Stand Up? And episode three, We in Danger, Girl. And those are all on Disney Plus. As we mentioned, we came out all at the same time. If you haven't watched them, go watch them. Spoiler warning, definitely. We're going to talk about the whole thing. But this, just to give a little bit of a stand up here, like both internally and externally, this is a show that was announced, I believe, back in 2019 at the dawn of Disney Plus, even before Black Panther Wakanda Forever came out. However, Riri Williams, played by Riri Williams, did you turn into a baby? A little bit. Again, this AI, it's really been infantilizing me. I just want to lie somewhere warm and go back to the womb, you know? And that's what that's what AI, which is good, by the way.
All I'm picturing is baby Alex talking right now. I don't really see you. I'm just picturing an AI baby
Alex. Am I not saying anything? Am I just saying gaga, goo goo?
Yeah, we're rolling with it.
All right, great. Anyway, that came out in 2022, and this filmed in 2022, and then sat around for a while. They went back for some reshoots reportedly in 2024, and now finally it's coming out in 2025. So there were a lot of questions around this. There was a lot of concern about would this work? Would this be good? Were they trying to bury the show? What exactly is going on here? Because not only has a lot changed in the MCU since then, but also a lot has changed for Marvel TV, for Disney, for streaming as a whole, not to blow it out too much. But this is coming at a very different time from when it was made. But it is finally out. We follow Riri as she gets kicked out of MIT for doing a little cheating and selling her inventions, goes back to Chicago, and in order to make enough money to build up her Ironheart suit, she hooks up with a gang run by the Hood, played by Anthony Ramos, who has a demonically powered Hood. We find out a little bit more about him over the course of these episodes. And
Just a scotch.
And there we meet his crew as well. And there's a lot of other things going on there. We find out not from Black Panther Wakanda Forever, but beforehand, probably her father and best friend Natalie were killed in a drive-by shooting. And yeah, she ends up accidentally creating an AI based on Natalie that runs her suit. She also strikes up a bit of a flirtation with Natalie's brother, who doesn't know about Natalie. Her mom is also there. And at the same time, she's also meeting a guy named Joe McGillicuddy, played by Alden
McGillicuddy.
Ehrenreich. I never know how to pronounce
it. Ehrenreich?
Ehrenreich, yeah. Sure, why not?
Ehrenreich.
Solo, if you will.
Han Alden
Solo.
Ehrenheart?
Yep. And by the end of episode 3, we find out he is not a guy named Joe McGillicuddy, who's just a nice guy, very interested in biotech. He is actually Ezekiel Stane, the son of Obadiah Stane from the first Iron Man.
Oh, what a reveal!
And,
good reveal.
Yeah, there you go. Lots more obviously goes on in the episodes as the Hood goes, not on a rampage, but like... Is a
character called Rampage.
There is a character called Rampage, yeah.
Eric Andre,
briefly showing up.
Yeah. What a role for Eric Andre, don't you think?
I would like to talk
for perhaps, like a day. That's the lay of the land that I said in probably the most confusing way possible, but I do want to get back to what we were talking about initially or what I was throwing out. This has been sitting on the shelf for a couple of years now. What do you think about the final product, or at least 50% of the final product?
Well, one thing we're kind of talking about, the casting is phenomenal. Like, you know, I'm watching the show, I'm like, oh my, holy shit, look at that. Oh my God, it's fucking Dean from Community. Oh shit, it's Deja from This Is Us. Like, it's got an impressive cast. And, you know, Zelbatron on one of your things.
I don't disagree with you, but the examples you brought up, wow, the Dean from Community and some random character from This Is Us. I don't know if that's
random.
Like,
how dare you? That's Deja, motherfucker. Put some respect on there.
Also, the Dean from Community is in the show for like 40 seconds.
He was in Iron Man 3. Like, it's a very tangential Iron Man 3 connection. Civil War? Yes, Civil War.
I'm just saying, when you're watching a show, instead of it being like, okay, whatever, you're kind of like, oh my God, this person. Oh my God, that person.
I'm sorry, not to spend too much time on this. I thought you were bringing up through like, wow, the casting on the show, Dominic Thorne is really great as Ironheart. Or, ooh, Anthony Ramos, he's been really building up a career. But nope, absolutely not. Guy who for 4 minutes.
Trying to get back to the Ramos because I heard you on one of your news things that you do, a lot of your news outlets, or maybe it was in Bryan Park where you were speaking. But like this take on Hood, you know, because I know the comics very well. I'm very familiar with the Hood. I was like, oh, this will be interesting to see what Ramos's take on it because he is a name, because he's been in some stuff. I was like, oh, I'm not upset that this is going to be different. I'm kind of excited to see what this actor, who I think does great work, is going to do with this. You know what I mean?
Right. By the way, the thing you heard was on the podcast that we do together.
It's together. It all runs. It's all one thing. Sure. You know what I mean? I hear your voice in my sleep sometimes.
That's just because I'm standing over you and whispering.
Yeah, oh, wow. That's called the personal podcast
for you. Yeah. That's impressive.
Hey, Pete, here's the Comic Book Club news for June 30th, 2025.
Thanks, Pete. That was a really good rundown of broadly what you thought of the show. Justin, what about you?
This show is... It's a strange show, and I feel like I at least have talked about this a lot. I feel like Marvel is moving out of the era that we had talked about a lot, where everything was hyper complex, hyper connected to everything else, and is moving back toward what they're doing specifically in Daredevil, where it is its own thing and feels more like a classic TV show. This show, because it was made before all of that and before so much of the downturn, I feel like is sort of still a little bit leaning on the other side where it is overly complex. I like some of the characters. I like some of the ideas they're playing with. But some of it is strange, prime of which in the first episode and a half, it feels like it's sort of a Disney Channel show, a lot of it. And then the other half is like hyper violent and horrifying. So I'm a little bit trying to figure out that tonally, it just feels a little bit all over the place for me. So I do think that's sort of crazy. I like some of the actors and the way that they're talking about technology. The show feels simultaneously very pro AI, something I do not like, but also the idea of dealing with the emotionality of technology is an interesting idea and something that I haven't seen a lot on television. And that's what I think, because I think the most tangible relationship in the show for me is the Riri Natalie relationship.
Yeah.
I love the actor who plays Natalie, and I think she's bringing
it's Deja, dude.
A lot of the yes.
Oh, is that
a lot
Deja? Of the, Lyric Ross.
Yeah, Lyric Ross.
Yes. There's a lot of ground. Like, she feels like the person who's bringing the most, like, I'm real here, and you can listen to me and feel confident and comfortable in the scene that you're watching. And that's very satisfying.
I think oh, go ahead, Pete.
I just want to jump in real quick while we're talking about the positive AI. I think, you know, if you put a kind of like a computer in your head and say, hey, read my mind for 4 hours while you're asleep, you're lucky you get Deja when you wake up. You know what I mean? Because that could have gone real south. Because
you duct taped a Game Boy to your head and was like, wake me up.
Every night. Every night. You know what I mean? Trying to get Mario to be my best friend, but
you're getting Alex whispering into your ear.
Yeah.
Drop the blocks, Pete.
The upsetting thing for me for this show
is Tetris theme on lock.
Is the fact that I want to like it so bad. I like the music. I like the cast.
The music is good. I will agree with you there. The music is good.
I want to like it. Where we ended it after the three block, I was like, why would you do that to us? If you would have ended after episode one, I'm like, okay, I'm going to come back for more. Episode two, same thing. You shoot a dude and then end it, and I'm like, bro, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Like, that was rough.
This is I think I agree with your take, Justin, that there's a lot of things being put on the table here. I want to respond to what Pete said in a second, because I think this ties into it, is this isn't structured like a TV show. And that's how the stuff that was pitched in 2019 that was meant to come out by 2022, that's how it was structured. It was a 6-part movie. That's what they're doing. So the thing that Pete is talking about at the end, the last two lines of episode three are, you good? No, I'm not. Which is like not a cliffhanger. Like that's
it
not
also makes
like,
you think,
oh my
like,
God, I got to tune into the next episode.
Yeah. Nobody's having fun with this. Why would we come back for this?
You know what I mean? It's not even having fun. It's just like, it's not a big stinger the way that the music is telling us, but as something that is like an act break that we pick up immediately afterwards in a movie, maybe it works. Maybe it's fine.
Yeah.
But it's not the sort of thing that's going to keep me hanging week to week or anything like that. The big thing that I've been struggling with, and maybe this also gets to kind of what you're saying, Justin, is I think I'd rather have too many ideas than no ideas. And this show has too many ideas. Like, I do prefer that. The idea that, like, the Natalie thing is interesting, but we don't get enough time with it. Whatever is going on with Joe and Riri in him being Ezekiel Stain is interesting. But again, like, I don't know how he fits with anything else. The stuff with the hood and his crew, I think that's probably the Disney Channel thing you were responding to.
Yes.
Because they're so like, we're all different types and have specific jobs. Yay. Well, and that's fine. Like, I'm fine with like a heist of the week, but that doesn't work when you're only doing 6 episodes that are so tight. This gets to the thing of like, that reminds me a little bit of like Miss Marvel, which I think we all agreed maybe, or at least I certainly felt strongly that should have been 20 episodes long and just have like a different thing Miss Marvel was doing every week. If you have Riri slowly building up her armor over the course of 22 episodes, and every week they do like a different little heist or something like that. That's a good setup for that fun crew to follow. As it is, we just don't have enough time to spend with them.
Yeah. And I do think like it moves fast. Like she's like, I'm in trouble. I'm going to join a clear crime gang.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is not questions. No questions asked. Like that guy, the dude who I'm forgetting the name of the actor, who also is a very good actor,
and
who shows
Ramos,
up. Like,
talking about the hood.
Not the hood.
No, the knives guy?
Yeah, knives guy.
Yeah, Johnny. Dude, knives is great.
Yeah, he's great. But he shows up and he's like, I'm going to pay for your stuff. Here's my card. And she's like, cool. No follow-up questions. Yeah.
Cool, thanks. This
sounds good.
To me all
we'll
the
show
time.
Up
all
right, to great. Get gassed in your elevator. Sounds great.
Well, but exactly. Like everything feels like it's just so aggressively put together, and we're meant to be like, okay, cool, without thinking about it. And like, I can't help but think about stuff. That's what I do as a viewer of anything. And then once you think about it for a second, it stops making sense for a lot of the moves throughout this. And to your point, Alex, like the Joe stuff is good. I wish the show was more of that because it doesn't match really at all. And like literally when she meets him, she's in a suburban neighborhood with a wagon full of stuff. I'm like, this is crazy different than everything that's happening. None of it matches. And there's a way to just like just edit, just cut some of this out. And the reason I'm saying the gang stuff feels like it should be fun because it is like Ocean's 11-y and like interesting, action oriented. But the dialogue and acting in those scenes is awful. Like it is very bad. And like to the point where I'm like, come on, there's no way. Like I'm not knocking the individual actors. It's just we don't they're caricatures. Like we meet someone named Clown and she just gets to be crazy without any like understanding of why, what she means, what her deal is. Like she's almost dying and she's like dancing a little bit while the thing burns around. I'm like, this is the Joker, but we don't get any underlying philosophy there. All of it. And like Anthony Ramos is interesting. I think his performance draws you in. But I'm also like, what? Are we meant to like him?
I think he's miscast, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, well, I
take
think
it easy. Take it
I,
easy.
No, I like Anthony Ramos. I think he's a great performer. He is a nice guy. And I know you can play against type, and maybe that's what you're talking about here, Justin, is we're supposed to be like, oh, what an enigmatic guy to hang out with, but I don't know what his deal is. Like, we know his deal because we read the comics, but this is so different. I can't necessarily intuit, based on the information that we're given over the course of 3 hours, what the Hood's powers are, why he's wearing that very dorky looking hood, or anything that's happening.
Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah. Like, I assume what they seem to be leading in, just for anybody who hasn't read the comics, they're great, first of all. Go read them.
Yeah.
But the comics are great. I'm glad you're taking a stand.
Almost all.
Huge stand here. Comics good. The Hood comic book, the idea is that he's one of those henchmen that constantly gets hired by supervillains, gets sort of fed up by it. He tries to pull off a heist, if I remember correctly, and accidentally kills this demon in the process and gets a demonic cloak that gives him, like, not great powers, but, like, low-level powers enough that he can climb up not to be the kingpin of crime, but to be, like, a little better than he is. More than a henchman, get a gang of his own. And ultimately, the comics, they do build him up to be A-level villain, kingpin of crime, and whatever. This, they very clearly are going for the Hood, it's a Robin Hood thing, and that's what they're leaning into there. But he doesn't seem dangerous. He doesn't seem like he's running a crew. We don't know what power he has over everybody.
But let's talk about the ink, dude. Come on. I mean, those tats were sick, bro.
Right. And it is this hopefully previous level of Marvel where they lay in like, ooh, you're hanging on every word that we're dishing out. You got to know what's going on with his tats. Why does he have these veins growing on him? What's happening? What's in his hood? But like, we're past that as a society, I think. And we kind of need to know up front what the Hood's deal is because it's not enough of a mystery to string us along for 6 episodes.
I don't even mind the mystery of it all. It's just make that the thing then, because it just isn't the thing. And I want it to be the thing because it is cool. But I think you're right about Anthony Ramos. Like, he draws you in and you're meant to be like, this guy's interesting. And he seems pretty nice, even though like Johnny's position is the villain. And like
Johnny Knives. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just want them to flip that.
Yeah, sounds like Jasper wants to say some things. One of the things that I think is kind of like a little bit tough is this kind of like setting up things and then not delivering it, and hopefully it will later. Because, you know, I'm sure you guys were really blown away by, you know, when we saw the kind of gang hangout spot for, you know, you saw nunchucks up on the wall, nunchakos, if you will, and then to not talk about them or use them in any aspect, like,
well, I mean, you've heard of Chekhov's nunchucks, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Chekhov's nunchakus. Yeah. So classic. If you introduce the nunchakus in the first act, they got a payoff in the third act.
You got to. And I watched all 3 episodes hoping that would happen.
There's 3 more episodes. I'm sure. I guarantee you the nunchucks.
Is the Zalman guarantee right now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
If not, I will eat those nunchucks.
Oh, well, okay. Hopefully it's cake.
Wow, what a promise.
I do want to cut something that Justin talked about.
Great timely reference, by the way.
The fact that, we saw Eric Andre and was like, oh, crap. And then we like, oh, our character is taking his spot? Well, that kind of sucks because it would have been nice if he was a part of the fold and got to also be on Avengers. But I guess he's gone now. And then it's kind of like Knives Guy was an interesting character. I would have liked to have seen more, but now he's dead. And it's just like, oh, man, what are we doing? Like, who is, I want to be on board. I want to enjoy these things. But maybe like you're saying, Alex, it's so fast and so furious that it's just there's no time. Yeah.
Well, it's especially crazy that Eric Andre is one of the bigger names in this cast, like top three or four. And he gets... he doesn't even get to be funny, really. Or he has the joke where his name is Rampage. He's just killed. I was like, surely he's going to come back and maybe be like a sidekick for Riri or something. And they're like, nope, he's just murdered off screen, unrelated to anything. Crazy.
Yeah, the whole thing, I think chaotic was a good way of putting it, Justin, because I don't know. I know we're lumping on the show, but again, like I think individually taking these elements are interesting, but they keep jumping back and forth between stuff to the point where it's just lacking this focus. Like, I think there's a version of the show that is very interesting, showing Riri is not Tony Stark. She does not have unlimited resources, and she's got to figure out a way to, she says, build something undeniable. Like, she wants to build the suit. That's interesting. And she ends up in sort of a Breaking Bad situation where she gets sucked down further and further. We expect her to be a hero, and she's slowly becoming an anti-hero. That's interesting. But at the same time, you have what's ever going on in the hood. At the same time, she's having, like, I think probably the strongest part of the show is probably the domestic drama, like when she's hanging out with Natalie's brother and just chatting with him,
I like
or
him.
Talking to her mom or anything like
the
that.
The AI mom relationship was crazy. I was like, oh my God, I want more of this.
All
this
of
is
the
unbelievable.
Human conversations are more interesting and I think play better for the strengths of Dominique Thorne as an actress and everything. And whenever they have to go into the superhero stuff or the supernatural stuff, it seems like it's being drawn in a million different directions.
How about when the mom asked for another one and she was like, no, I was like, oh, this is fucking heartbreaking. She was like, can I have an AI friend?
Mm-hmm.
That was heartbreaking because she didn't get an AI friend.
Yeah, because it was like, you know, you got one. Your mom's clearly hurting and dealing with a lot of death. You know, it'd be nice if she had someone to talk to. You're never around. I mean, mom lit up someone who should be freaked out by an AI. It was like, oh, hi, Mrs. So-and-so. Yeah, I'm just an AI thing that your daughter
made.
Well,
she wants her husband back. That's what she's asking for.
It would be nice.
Right. Again, like a possible element to the show, like Justin was saying, is ethics of AI and how that works. And it just doesn't want to deal with that. I will say on the opposite end of the spectrum, though, granted, they've had like, almost two decades, maybe more, not more, like almost two decades to figure this out. All the effects are pretty good. Like, they know how to do the Iron Man effects at this point. So all the stuff of her in the suit, it works. Her flying
the
around.
The clippy thing. Oliver, the horrible clippy thing.
Oh, our guy Pencil.
Yeah, that was rough, dude. I was like, get this fucking guy out of here. This is horrible. I did think, though, the music and montage that we got, kind of to go back to Alex saying the Ocean's 11 aspect of the show, was very enjoyable. And I was like, oh, more of this, please. This is great. You got some great music choice with some fun images of them breaking into places or whatever. That would have been cool. More of that.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I do, just jumping back a second to talk about the armor, I agree it does look good, but I wish, and I know this is true to the comics, that Ironheart's armor looks like Iron Man's armor, but I want it to look different. I want it to be something more interesting. I feel like it's, we've seen it so much in other versions of it in all the Iron Man movies where it's like, oh, the villain's armor is a little bit different. And like, I just want her armor to be something else. It just feels like a gap. Like I look at it, I'm like, this is not meaningless to me. It feels characterless, and I want it to have more to it.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's a personal. I'm willing to chalk that up to my own personal pet peeve, but there's something about it that is.
I don't love it. I mean, I've never really loved the Ironheart armor. Like, I like the character, and I like Riri.
Yeah,
I think
she's great.
Dominic is great, but I was more talking about the effects. Like, they've clearly figured out how to make those look good we've had several Marvel shows with kind of janky effects at this point.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, this looks good. I'm happy about this. What else from these three episodes? Obviously, we're giving a big, broad overview here.
Center Man song was such a – that was really fun.
Did they say Parker has scales on his body when he clearly doesn't? Like, when they show his body, it's veins, not scales. It was weird.
Well, I think the tattoo looks a little scaly. And yeah, my – this gets into predictiveness. Like, aren't we saying – do we think that maybe he's going to become demonic? And scales make track with demon flesh, I think. So I think that's the idea here. And maybe the veins are part of the conversion.
Also, I'll note, I do think the idea of, like, having magic on one side and tech on the other is interesting. But again, over the course of 3 hours, I don't think we're seeing any sort of clash there. Everything seems mostly totally fine.
Well, and maybe there's more to that conversation. I hope the show follows it up, because I did think there's a very visceral section with Joe where he's got his arm open and there's like the biohacking thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was like,
that was crazy.
I was like, if this show's for kids, I'm like, this is very intense to be watching this happen in a very
casual
setting.
Also, what was he doing? He was like, I was trying to biohack, and like he shoves some microchips in his arm or whatever. I'm no doctor, but I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah. Well, that's a very like Elon Musk understanding of biohacking. Is we're like, it's working on the chimps, they're dead, but we've made some progress. It's like, okay, but I do think like there is a that's maybe part of that joining up of magic and tech, or like where the body's the meeting point between these two things, and that could be cool if that is a theme that they're really going to play on in the last three episodes.
I did really like him and the moment where he's like, aren't you glad you helped me gain my confidence back or whatever, and the fact that now he's bugging her, I thought that was like a fun twist and kind of well played. I like
Joe.
Yeah, they kind
or
of
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel kind of nature how it kind of
sure.
Went from
I'm
her.
Not sure how she did that necessarily since they kind of just met, but that's all right. How do you
Sometimes
feel about Obadiah
Stane?
There's been so much speculation about maybe he's alive or they're going to bring back Jeff Bridges in some way, but nope, he's been cremated and he's in a baggie in his cabinet.
Well,
that was the right choice, I think.
It's a great resting place, you know what I mean?
If you have a choice to use Jeff Bridges, an actor who is interested in coming back to your franchise, don't do it.
Just make him dust.
Well, it could be AI Bridges coming back, you know what I mean?
Like AI Bridges.
Hey.
Jeff Bridges.
I do like the Obadiah Stane connection. I think is a smart one.
That was a fun reveal.
They're building like the sort of the outsider view look at the at approaching these Iron main main story Iron Man characters. Like, that's cool. And I think they're both having to deal with the consequences of the fact that they're outside of like the wealth and power of Tony Stark and Obadiah Stane. Also interesting. I hope that again takes a focus, since we seem to be slowly decimating the Hood's gang. Mm-hmm. Then maybe that's where the show will move toward in these last three episodes.
Well, let me throw out one other thing that I thought was a little weird about that scene beyond the explicit MCU connection, which obviously it's in the MCU, but I think like we said, I like the fact that Daredevil was mostly self-contained in its own thing. This definitely is not. It was weird to me that Joe is like, I'm Ezekiel Stane, my dad is in this baggie, he died. And there was no Riri being like, my dad also died. Like, there's no connection there between the two, even though I think that's probably why we're doing it, because they're both characters with dead dads. But
yeah, that would have been a nice moment if she was like, oh, I keep my dad in this Dunkaroos box, you know?
And Dunkaroos, like the little plastic bit?
Yeah, the little plastic
where the cheese
part
goes?
Where you can, do you mix them? Do you mix them with the frosting?
Yeah, you get one of those little sticks, like a Fun Dip type
every
situation.
Day you wake up and you eat a little bit of your dad.
Yeah.
Sort of like how Keith Richards snorted his dad's ashes. You're saying you would Dunkaroo your dad?
That's right. Yeah. I just think, you know, the moment of my dad's in this kind of snack size. Plastic bag here for normally reserved for pretzels
snack
and stuff.
Size? That's snack
was it
size?
Full? Was it sandwich?
That was a gallon bag.
Okay. All right. Freezer size? All right. My bad. But I'm just saying the...
got a real grip on the plastic bag size.
It would have been nice. It would have been nice instead of this...
I'm just wondering how big the snacks are that Pete has. That's all I'm asking.
Huge.
Yeah. He might have some big... He lives in the country.
No, I don't
He's got
it.
Some Texas toast style snacks
in
out there.
The country.
Yeah, some Gorp. You carried some Gorp around in there for your long trails.
Man, I love Gorp.
Mm. Good old raisins and peanuts.
Yeah. Oh, man, Alex knows the inside track on it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A couple of things I want to talk about. Like, what do we think about these companies that have been... The second and third episode are focused on Tunnel and Heirloom. Like, mm-hmm. what... The whole Tunnel thing, and it's a riff on the Elon Musk... tunnel they were going to build in LA, but that was a crazy idea.
Also, you made it seem like it was one tunnel, and then even she was like, this is like Spy Kids, where I was like, yeah, this is indeed
like Spy Kids. Also, this is not explicitly addressing what you're saying, Justin. It's crazy to me that the CEO had zero dialogue. That she was like,
what was this
under five or whatever.
Yeah,
she was like, huh, I'll sign. I'll give you millions, you gang.
Yeah, I don't know. This is what I'm talking about with the Hood's powers is like, yes, it is alarming if a guy apparates inside of your car, but he doesn't seem to do anything other than that. Like, he's just there.
Also, there's no way legally being forced to sign like some random piece of paper is then binding. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's why the plan where he was in the car the whole time, I was like, why did we do all this tunnel stuff? Yeah. We didn't need the tunnel stuff.
Didn't he teleport there? That's what I thought.
Oh, I thought he can teleport?
Yeah, I don't know. He can.
I don't know. I don't know.
I thought it was more of invisibility.
Maybe. It seems like he can teleport to places. And then
I just thought he was in the
bullets.
Car the whole time.
Don't forget about the bullet bending.
The bullet bending thing, I'm like, why is this continually
like
a thing that people
think
is cool?
He didn't even bend it that much. Also, no, like,
barely bent it.
Yeah. Like, they only know that because they saw Wanted, and they know that people can bend bullets.
Yeah.
But
I feel like I could bend bullets a little.
Yeah,
maybe that's enough.
It did, but again, like, there was not enough of a curve on that bullet for them to be like, oh, my God, he bends bullets. It was just...
Guys, it's kind of Mythbusters. You can't bend bullets, okay? It's not possible. Okay.
Well, but that's the other thing is, like, all this era of Marvel programming has this problem where all of the characters feel like they've seen all Marvel movies and TV shows. Mm-hmm. Like when they're like, yeah, I'm not some Ironmonger. I'm like, was that in the press? Like, why? That's not a name that was just a thing on a script. That's not something anyone talked about. And like, I don't know, everyone seems to be like, yeah, I saw Wanted, so I learned how to bend bullets. Like, that's not cool. You can't, don't do that. Yeah. Too meta. This isn't Deadpool.
Yeah, it gets weirdly meta. Yeah, it walks that line of Deadpool a little bit. There were moments where she's commenting and I'm like, oh, I'm enjoying this, but this is also like, I don't know. Yeah, this is normally a Deadpool type kind of like, the pop culture references are very deep.
I don't mind the references, and honestly, some of the dialogue feels like, especially between Riri and Natalie, feels like, though, these are real people talking to each other.
Yeah, and they have a history.
It's just, when you get into Clown, once Clown and Slug.
Dude, you hate Clown, bro.
And Roz and Jerry, once they're talking, I know all those names, because they're such indelible characters.
Is that the Blood Brothers, or whatever they are?
The Blood Siblings, yes.
Blood siblings, yes. I was mistaken for Blood Brothers, the Broadway musical that came out in, I want to say, 1993.
Blood in, blood out. Man.
Great. Everyone's saying stuff.
One character I want to get back to is the Wagon Kid. I thought he was great.
Did you?
And also, he was like $20. I felt like that was reasonable. And she was like, that's highway
robbery. Can I say one weird thing about that scene with the Wagon Kid, actually?
Yeah.
There is right behind him, and I noticed this because I'm always like trying to plumb for clues or whatever. Right behind him in a store window is a thing for the Stark Expo that they're going to be having. I wrote it down, but I'm not finding my notes immediately. But like, it's the Stark Expo that they're going to have. It's a science expo. It's a yearly thing. I was like, oh, okay, that's cute. It has a QR code on it. And I was like, oh, clearly this QR code takes you to Ironheart number one on Marvel.com or whatever. He is blocking it the entire time, so you can't scan the QR code, which is really
dude,
weird.
You're watching it being like, come on, kid, get out of the way.
Yeah, yes, because I want to write an article about that and point it out to people or whatever, or find out what the Easter eggs are, because that's what people are interested in.
Sure.
And they have done that in plenty of other things. They did that in multiple Marvel shows. They did it in The Penguin. They've done it in other comic book stuff. I think it's cool when they point people to the stuff, but you can't actually scan the QR code that's on there.
Oh my God.
Because he's blocking it. It's weird. It's weird that they did that. That's all.
Yeah. Another missed QR code.
I can tell we're all equally upset about this.
Yeah, it seems definitely. Like some of us are definitely. All very equally.
We all share the same hive mind. Let me ask you, I feel like this show also struggles with endings. Episode 2 specifically, episode 3 ends, we already talked about it, sort of like anticlimactic, especially when it is the break in the season. Episode 2, there's this scene where we meet Joe, he has is talking to a blonde lady about how she's letting her dog shit in his yard and he can't muster the ability to say stop doing it. And then we get this very strange scene where he steps in some like disgusting but so fake dog shit that I was like, work harder. You can get this CGI good, but you can't get decent looking
dog
shit.
That's where they lost you in the fake dog shit. Interesting.
Hey, I have a new puppy, as you heard barking here earlier. Yeah. And if you need a dog shit consultant, ring a ding me up because I will give you the recipe. And then he steps his dog shit and then he goes and picks like 6 flowers from her garden. And there's like some
more than 6. He put at least one in his mouth. I mean, come on, bro.
There's some celebratory music happening.
I don't know what was going on there.
I
was sure there was going to be another beat or something like that.
Well, they would show what he made, like if it was like a fun montage or an FU or a heart or anything.
But also, he picked 6 flowers. You didn't even notice those flowers being gone.
Yeah. Right. But it didn't tie into anything. Like, why didn't he use some sort of tech to fry her flowers or something like that? Also, why was that the ending of the episode? That's not where we started or literally anything I was thinking about. And those characters are so exaggerated anyway. I don't know. The whole thing is weird.
One of the things I thought you were going to say, Alex, when you were talking about the Wagon Kid, was that it's insane to me that she
other
could
than the QR code, because
we already covered the wagon.
Covered the QR code.
Circling the wagons. I'm circling back to the Wagon Kid. I thought you were going to say it was crazy to me that here's somebody who can build unbelievable things, but then needs to rent a wagon from a kid because she can't make a wagon. She can't fight. You know, like, it just seemed insane to me that, like, it just stopped there, and she was like, well, man, now I owe this wagon kid like $40.
You ever had to try to make a wagon? Not easy.
She can make all sorts of amazing technology.
Different skill set.
All right. Here's
another thing, and this is just a general thing that bothers me with plot lines like this about, like, we got to give this character limitations. Like I said, I think the idea of Riri losing her scholarship, having to go back home and have to figure out how to build things up, very interesting. She doesn't actually really have any limitations as far as we've seen over the course of the three episodes. It's like any plot line where Batman's like, oh my God, I've lost all my wealth. All I have is this bat suit and my Batmobile and my allies who have unlimited resources and five bat caves. And that's pretty much it. Like, otherwise, yeah, I'm crazy limited. And it's the same thing here where she's like, all I have is my home computer that can build an AI that replicates a human being. And
yeah,
I don't know. I want to see, like, the reason I bring this up with the Wagon Kid is I do think there's a version of the show where, like, she has to start from scratch. Like, she has to start from the beginning and use, like, scraps, like Tony Stark building the Iron Man armor out of scraps in a cave. Same sort of thing where she has to, like, cobble it together with whatever she's getting out of this kid's wagon. And then she's able to build it into something else and something else and something else. Instead, she has pretty much a fully working armor right from the top. She has powers. She can do things. She immediately figures out, like, oh, great, I can go to this guy, Joe, who has everything I need in a full-on lab. So, again, like, all of the limitations, all the things that are taken away from her are pretty much immediately given back to her, which undercuts the Hood storyline because then she doesn't really have a reason to stick with the Hood's gang.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, and now she's not, I mean, is that over? We end the third episode with, like, she's all messed up, Johnny's dead, the Hood is upset.
She didn't even try. She was just like, oh, I'm just going to fly around and look busy.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, she's deep in on the crime side of things and mm-hmm. feeling bad. And there's a connection here between the guilt she feels about Natalie's death, her father's death, and now she's going to be plagued with guilt from what she did here. So, like, that's also interesting. But, like, that's a lot to get to in these last three episodes. And it also, like, the structure of them doing cases, doing crimes, is, I think that's over with based on the way the gang ends up.
Yeah, he does mention, the Hood mentions they have the tunnel job, the heirloom job, and I think he says the big one or something like that. Yeah, there's
three jobs they got to pull.
Three jobs, but there's one more job for the remaining three episodes. Before we wrap up here, though, any other moments you guys want to call out?
The one thing where I was trying to figure out that line where it kind of was fun pop culture was like when she was like, are we Ocean's 11 or Sopranos? I thought that was a fun way to kind of.
That was good. Yeah. Yeah. And while we're saying that, the We in Danger girl shouts to Ghost.
Yeah, that was fun.
Good reference there. And just to bring up again something I do think is cool, the intersection of tech and emotion. It's like, we see it a ton, and in the MCU, it was like the Vision stuff of, like, it's technology sort of trying to be human. And I like that it is sort of the flip here, where we have, like, human, the human in the situation is being affected by the technology, and in turn, there's a relationship there that the technology is reacting to it, it feels like, in a way.
Yeah.
And there's something really interesting there, and
I agree, because it's also cool this thing about AI learning about, like, panic attacks and, like, the fact that she was like, oh, let's go to the garage. Won't that be cool? I'm so happy to be here. This has such great memories for me. And then she looks over and Riri's having a panic attack because she's like, I didn't want to come here. You know, so it was interesting, kind of this realization that, you know, AI was having around Riri and being like, breathe.
What do we think about the cape piece that she got?
Yeah, I'm really worried about the devil reveal. You know what I mean? Because I really don't want it to be Mephisto. But I feel like it's got to be.
Sorry, Pete, were you talking about the devil reveal in the show or just in real life when he comes to you and makes the deal?
I hope it's not in real life. Oh, my God.
You got to check out my TikTok. I just did a devil reveal on there.
Oh, man. You got so much going on, dude.
Yeah. Yes, Alex, it's me.
Hey, hey guys. You've all been asking, so here's my devil. Yeah, I guess we'll see what happens with the cloak, right? Like, That whole thing felt very belabored to me, getting the piece of the hood. She probably could have just sliced
that
it right across.
Mysteriously just appeared when she needed it. I was like, oh boy, that's not good.
Well, do you think that Parker is going to be like a sympathetic character at the end of this? Like, is he someone that Riri's going to team up with to beat some sort of devil, or is he the big bad?
Well, why else would we get Anthony Ramos? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's got to be the way we're going.
Wait, he just said two ways. Which way?
Yeah. That he's going to be the sympathetic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess we'll see. No, I think he's the big bad because I think we are going to get magic versus tech battle going on. Ooh. Here is what I'd expect. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Would be great to find out what he does also. Just other than curve bullets slightly and
appear.
Here's the thing with curving bullets, though. You can just aim a little bit differently. Why are you gonna curve? You don't have to. What are you going around?
Yeah.
Like if he was crazy zigzagging them, like if he was controlling the bullets, that's kind of cool. Like Dark Side's DC. Omega beams.
That's cool. Like,
that's annoying.
Like Arrow Guy from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right. But I agree with you. Curving bullets implies that you aimed wrong.
Yes. Like, unless you're really trying to go around. It's like when I throw a frisbee, sometimes I'm going like around another person.
Sure.
But like with a bullet, you just shoot.
You shoot. You go straight.
Yeah. That's, in fact, I would say curving it is what you don't want to do.
Right. But there's wind. Wind gets in the way. You have to worry about the wind speed.
What is happening right now?
I don't know.
Wind doesn't get. Wind's not in the way. You don't have to go around wind.
You do. Like if there's a gust. Like a gust of wind.
Well, we want to talk about you.
You've been inside too long.
The next three episodes are going to be
very warm. I would rather not go outside.
What we want the next three episodes to be or something. You know what I mean?
Just stop trying to bend your conversation in here.
sure, Pete. We can go to the vision board and talk about what we want to see in the final three episodes of the series. What do you want to see, Pete? What's on your vision board?
I want more wagon guy, obviously. And yeah, I would love for Ramos to kind of, be on Riri's side a little bit, or at least, you know, maybe they fight Mephisto together or something. But I'm worried about Mephisto showing up. But it would be cool if we can kind of get to some balance where Riri's with the team, or at least on the team, or against them. But this kind of back and forth is driving me a little crazy.
I want to see more Joe, more Natalie, and Riri really getting into the emotionality that is at the core of this show, but she's just ignoring it, and all of her friends and family keep telling her, Parker seems bad, you should deal with some stuff, talk to me, let's do that, because I think that's where the actual heat of this show lives.
Normally, I would ask for more of an episodic structure, but that's not going to happen on this show. So
We're well beyond that.
Very much so. Instead, since there's so many things on the table, I just want to see them bring some of the stuff together. Like, that's all. Just sort of like start to connect the themes, start to connect the characters, because everything's cool. So, yeah, bring back the nunchucks by the nunchakus, is what we call them, Pete, by the end of the season. That's the main thing. Like, make those connections like Ezekiel and Riri talking about their dead dads and dunking them in Dunkaroos or whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
And
it's whatever Pete's doing.
But also like figure out what does the hood have to do with Ironheart? Because right now they feel like these two very separate trains going in the show. So we got 3 hours. We plenty of time, I think, to bring all of this together. Let's start whittling stuff off and bring the themes hopefully to a pleasing conclusion.
Yay.
On my vision board, this show, good.
We'd love for that.
Be good.
We'd love it.
Please be good.
Well, we'll talk about that soon enough because the next three episodes are out on Tuesday night. There you go. So coming out very soon.
And that's it. And that's over.
And then it's over and probably never see this again. But I don't know. We'll see what happens.
End of podcast.
End of podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts, we do patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a lot live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Ironheart, Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay marvelous.
What type of snack bag will you guys be buried in once you're cremated?
Ooh.
Oh, I'm gonna be like... Oh, Fun Dip?
I was going to go with
like Box of Nerds, so like maybe...
Oh, yeah, bring you back to your roots, you nerd, I love it.
Box of Nerds. Okay, great, Alex, we'll split a casket. You be blue and I'll be red.
Oh, that'd be the coolest!
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.